Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Ms. Lisa. Thank you all for coming. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you guys and your faithfulness. It's very, very refreshing. It really is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 21, Revelation 21. As always, a war room is open. I encourage you to use that. Revelation 21. Today I want us to look at the very first and the very last city that's mentioned in the Bible, Revelation 21. We know there are many first and last things. You can think of things in your life that maybe you did one time, and that was your last time. You had this, or you owned this, or you experienced it one time, and it was the last time. I think of some things in the Bible that were first and last, like the universal flood. God destroyed the earth. Everybody on the earth was violent and wicked, except one family. And God destroyed the whole earth with the universal flood. And then after that, He said, I'll never do that again. It was the first time. He'll never destroy the earth with a universal flood. And the last time, I think of something sort of odd like Balaam's donkey that spoke. Y'all remember that? Balaam's donkey. And so if a donkey can speak, obviously God can do it again, but we only see that one time that I'm aware of in the Scriptures. I think of Elisha and the floating axe head. You remember he borrowed an axe head? And him and some of the prophets, and it came off the axe, and the axe head floated, sank down into the bottom of the water, river, or whatever it was. And so they threw a stick in the water. Elisha said God wanted him to throw a stick in the water, and the axe head floated back to the top, the floating axe head, Elisha. First and last time I see that in the Scripture. You remember the fiery fox, Samson. The Bible says that Samson caught 300 foxes. You guys remember that? And he tied their tails together. I would say it would be difficult to catch one fox. Amen? Especially if you're trying to catch a politician. No, excuse me, I'm off track. But 300 foxes and tie their tails together. You remember he let them out? And it burnt the Philistine fields. It set them on fire and it burnt the fields up and stuff. First time and the last time I see that in Scripture. Could be other places. But today, we're going to look at the first and last city. Revelation chapter 21. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read one verse. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Father, bless your word in Christ's holy name. Amen. Please be seated. If you would hold your place there and turn to Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, so we can look at the first city that's mentioned. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. In verse 17, God's word says, Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city, which is the first city, after the name of his son Enoch. So in Genesis, we have the first city built by Cain. In Revelation, we have the last city built by Christ. It was said of Augustus that he found Rome in brick and left it in marble, but Christ shall do a far grander transformation as he builds the New Jerusalem, or as he builds heaven, also known as Mount Zion or the city of God. Cain built a city of ungodliness. Cain's first city, ungodly. Obviously, he was the first murderer. He killed his own brother. As we know, the story goes, it was time to receive a sacrifice. God wanted a sacrifice, and Cain got the best fruit basket, the best vegetable arrangement, whatever he got all together, and it may have been beautiful and gorgeous, but it was not what God wanted. God wanted blood. God wanted to sacrifice blood, a little lamb, a goat, or something of that nature. And Cain's brother, that's what he sacrificed. He sacrificed something that had blood in it. But Cain did not. He sacrificed the earth. And you and I, that of the earth. We know you can't get blood out of a turnip, but Cain tried to do it. And it was highly offensive to God because God was trying to portray a picture that one day he would sacrifice his only son on the cross. And so he wanted the sacrifices to represent what he was going to do one day on the cross of Calvary. And so it was highly offensive for Cain to bring this little basket of fruit or basket of vegetables, whatever it may have been, for a sacrifice. God was not pleased. And the Bible says that. And Cain, out of his selfishness, out of his own desire to do what he wanted to do and choose the way he wanted to go, which was against God's way, Cain became angry, and he killed his brother Abel. And God sent Cain away, and Cain must have went away with his sister because they started a family. They built a city. The city Cain built was founded on the spirit of selfishness. He chose to leave out what God wanted and build his city the way he wanted to build it. Cain's city was lived opposite of what God wanted. In all things, Cain aimed to make this city independent or separate of God. So here's a question I want you to think with me. Does his city look like our cities? Does Cain's city look like our cities? Well, I've got some, if you say no, I've got some questions for you. You remember several months ago, we had a lesbian mayor in Houston that says she wanted transgender bathrooms, and we see it all over, don't we? They're trying to get everybody to agree with that. You remember months ago, a high school football coach was fired because he would pray on the sideline with his team. They told him to stop doing it, Coach Kennedy, and they let him go. They fired him because of it, for praying during ball games or after the ball game. Our military is under fire spiritually. Remember months ago, one of our soldiers in Afghanistan saw a little girl being, manhandled by someone in an inappropriate way, and he reported it and said, "These Afghani police are doing something to this little girl," and they got rid of him. They said, "You need to keep your mouth shut. We don't just overlook those things." Proverbs chapter 28 tells us that a man without self-control is like a city broken and left broken into and left without walls. Dear friends, and the scriptures teach this throughout, that when our life is out of control, when we're not letting God control us or the Holy Spirit of God control us, we're like a city broken. We're like a city with walls that doesn't exist anymore. Everything is in rubble, and our life is going to eventually collapse into rubble as well. This is what the city of Cain looks like. He represents the cities that are oppressed, the cities that oppose God, the cities with enormous injustice and violence in our cities, they say. We are doing the same thing as Cain is doing because we have turned our backs on God in many ways, men and women, and the children of Israel, and children, even children, have little or more respect for God's word or for God, the things of God nowadays. And so God reminds us, again, in Proverbs 25:28. So Cain's city was built on selfishness, built on cruelty, built with bloody hands, you could say, because he had slain his brother. Think about it. Cain's city was laid on the corpse of his own brother. And ever since that first city, thousands more have been built on the same ungodly ambition and ungodly cruelty and all the other things. If we look at, in the Bible, Babylon, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, Babylon of old was also about cruelty. Egypt enslaved the Jews for over 400 years as a crude and evil society. Nineveh, controlled by the Assyrians, was one of the most evil cities in all of history. Jonah had a good reason for not wanting to go there. Obviously, God called him to go, but humanly speaking, it was a bad place to go. Today, there are cities like Yemen and Iraq and Mexico and in Colombia and Brazil and Venezuela and other places, South Africa, and even here in America. They're full of selfishness and unrighteousness and violence and hatred, just like the city Cain built. Hatred for God, and even some of the lesser things, hatred for that are not that people say are not good. Unfortunately, our society, like Cain, is driven by propaganda, is driven by ungodly leaders, ungodly media, and a whole bunch of dirty money. Our society is driven by the lust of money, the love of money, which is the root of all evil. But in contrast to Cain's first city, I want to share with you the city that is built not like the cities of Cain, but the city Jesus has built or is building. The city Christ is building. Absolute, undeniable, amazing righteousness, love, and justice in every way. Perfection, holiness, divinity, everything. The new Jerusalem, as she is called. She will be purity. All the streets, everything made of pure gold, faithfulness, righteousness in every way. Years ago, a leading politician from a southern state, by the name of Al Gore, now, said that Antarctica's polar ice caps were going to melt by 2014. He said that all the oceans were going to expand and all the ice caps would be melted by 2014. Did you know that Al Gore used to be in a Southern Baptist church in Arkansas a long time ago? Mr. Gore, I would say, is a false teacher, because we know that didn't happen. All the ice caps did not melt, and it's just propaganda. It's trying to control our environment more. It's trying to put things where God wants them to be. And so his prediction didn't happen. Actually, studies show that Antarctica, the polar ice caps are growing. And scientists are puzzled. They don't know why. Well, maybe it's because of all the world's lies, such as things like global warming and global cooling and all the other deceptive scare tactics are a philosophy of Cain. That's what they are. They're a philosophy of Cain. So that you and I, we don't need God. We need government. We need world. We need everything else to tell us what to do, to tell us how to live. Obviously, God wants us to take care of this world and be the best stewards that we can. But more importantly, we are to obey God, amen, rather than man. We saw that last week. 2,000 years ago, Jesus says in John 14:3, he tells us that he's going to go prepare a place for us. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And so unlike the cities of Cain, C.S. Lewis had it right. Here's what he said. C.S. Lewis says, joy is the business of heaven. And I would say, dear brothers and sisters, if you love joy, hey, Miss Joy, if you love joy, I'm talking about not just Miss Joy, but all joy. If you love joy, instead of violence and hatred and all the things that are going on, if you love peace and joy, then you'll love heaven. Amen? Because that's what it's going to be like. Praising Him forever and ever. No tears, no pain, no death, nothing that we experience down here for those who love the Lord Jesus and are called according to His will. The New Jerusalem, also known as heaven, is described in Revelation 21. Look at verse 10 with me as we read a few of those verses. We may even go to the end. Revelation 21, look at verse 10. It talks about this is what heaven, a description of heaven here in Revelation 21. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled, this is verse 9, with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the city of heaven, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east and 3 on the north, 3 gates on the south and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured his wall 140 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth, you tell me, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or for the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Jesus is its light, he says. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, in the kings of the earth. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. The gates shall not be shut all at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defies or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here's a question I have for you today. Is Montgomery or Prattville or Wetumpka or this region, is it your home? Is this your home? If you have the philosophy of Cain, and it's all about on this earth and getting what you can get and enjoying life down here and living it to the fullest, not in a biblical way, but in an unbiblical way, then this region is your home. But if you're looking beyond this region, your philosophy is, you know, heaven is more important, you know what God says is most important, then this is not your home. Then heaven is your home. So that's what I want you to ponder for just a moment. Do you have the philosophy of Cain? Do you get too caught up in politics and in all the other things of this world? Or do you, when you start to get caught up, do you say, "God, may I not get involved in that. May I keep my focus on you, because this is not my home anyway. I'm getting too disturbed. I'm getting too bothered by things that are not even pertaining to my real home. Let's pray. Father, Lord, purge us from our minds, our mindset of the philosophy of Cain that is all about evil and progress and all these things, Lord, and money and the things that we can use for your glory, but the things that can trip us up, Lord, and cause a stumbling block for us. Lord, may we refocus, reset our mind on the things in your word and the things of you, Lord. And Lord, have your way in our moments. If someone is struggling, Lord, with their salvation when they lay their head down at night, they just don't know for sure. May right where they sit, they just cry out to you for salvation, for you to save them. Believing Jesus is the only way and the way and the truth and the life. We love you, Lord. Have your way in Christ's holy name. Amen.